Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson for the Anthony Johnson Show. Glad to be back. A lot of good stuff going on, but you know our time is limited, so I just try to kind of talk about things that I believe that is of great importance. So I'm glad to be back. Let's just get right into it. So, as you know, that I, Anthony Johnson, am running for state representative, and this is a wonderful thing. I am very fortunate to be doing this. I couldn't ask for. I love politics. I love politics, ladies and gentlemen. I love everything about it. I love when governing. I believe that we all, at some point in time in our lives, we should all think about doing, running for an elected office. I do think it's unfair that, you know, when you run for office, they charge you fees. I think that's absolutely asinine. I think it's unfair because what it does is it keeps people who would be interested in running, but then they find out the fees. So they may say, for example, I'm running for state representative. And, you know, you may say, oh, well, you know, you're only, it's not a, you know, you just had to pay $100. That's not a lot of money. Well, yeah, it is. To many people, that's a lot of money. When you have bills and stuff to pay, when you come from communities like Juniata Park, Feltonville, the 180th district where I'm running, when poverty is at 40% and 37% of the population of a population of over 35,000 people, 37% of them do not have a high school diploma or GED. You have high unemployment, which is in double digits. You have a crime rate that is 111% higher than the national average. You can't really afford $100. As a matter of fact, the number one thing you're focusing on is trying to make sure that your family is safe and secure and fed and have a roof over their head. They're living in a house, you know, a house that's not falling down. So when those individuals decide to say, hey, you know, I want to run for office. I want to make a difference. I believe that I can, you know, bring something to the equation. They can't do that because, again, they can't afford it. $100 is a lot. It's a lot, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, we have to do something about that. I think if you decide that you want to run for elected office, they tell you what you have to do. They tell you that you got to go get signatures. Well, you know what? You go and get signatures, but you don't have to pay a fee. And that's what I'm bothered by. That's what I'm disgusted by. And, you know, my number one priority as state representative will be to address the crime, the unemployment, the illiteracy, and the poverty. But also within that, I'm addressing the illegal immigration issue. You know, everybody has their view on this, and some people say, oh, they just need to be all swooped up, all 11 million, and sent back from whence they came. It always makes me laugh when I hear people say that, because also, and the Republicans are notorious for it. These are the savvy, economists, economically savvy, conservative in our economics. But then you're willing to spend hundreds of billions of dollars to round up 11 million people and send them away. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say tonight, if you've studied history, and sadly in our country, we know most Americans don't know anything about world history. They don't even know American history. Hell, they don't even know their family history. But tonight, let me just shine a little bit of light on the history of trying to snatch up people and send them on their way. In Nazi Germany, when Jews were being rounded up and murdered, systematically just murdered, the back story on that was a lot of the German soldiers who fought for their country but didn't believe in what Hitler was doing actually had a major issue with that. And they were very adamant about, so if a German, quote-unquote, he's 100% German, which that wouldn't be the case because, you know, the African ideology, universal by social scientists and archaeologists, we know that the one-drop rule, we know that every human being on Earth has some African ancestry in them. That's why when I see these commercials like Ancestry.com and all these other things, and they'll say, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm not. And I'm like, okay, you're not African? Well, then, you know what, you just wasted your money. But I digress. In Nazi Germany, so these soldiers who fought in World War One and World War Two were married to women of Jewish descent and had children. And these soldiers out there, and it was not like a handful of them, there were many of them that said, no, this can't be. And they did speak out against it. History won't write that down because universally they know that the majority of the world won't read this stuff. But that's what was happening. I say that, ladies and gentlemen, that to say that you don't just systematically round up people of an ethnic group because you feel though that they are here illegally, or as the lower life forms, these subhumans of the Nazis who felt like the Jews were the problem with the, you know, they were the problem with the world and they all needed to be eradicated. You know, this sick, depraved buffoonery has made its way right here into America. And I can tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, in my studies, I've sat down with individuals who lived in Nazi Germany. And, you know, when I asked these guys, because my master's is in Central and Eastern European Studies with a concentration in German. So when I've had these one-on-one conversations with these individuals, you know, and I said, well, where did you get this depravity ideology from? Now, of course, they told me, well, Anthony, you know, I didn't co-sign to that foolishness, you know. It was just in Nazi Germany. Okay, but where did you get this type of depravity from, that you wanted to round up a group of people who've done no harm to you, who have a German born, who love their country, they've worked hard, they're successful, but you feel like, oh, they're the problem, round them up, kill them all, and be done with it. He said, we learned from America. He said, we learned how to round people up and systematically murder them from America. He said, Anthony, are you not an African-American? I said, I'm a black man. He said, I'm a black man. He said, well, you should understand that. You know the origins of this. Your ancestors probably were some of those individuals that was rounded up by these slave owners and murdered and raped and pillaged and so forth. And he was right. I said, yeah. But that doesn't give you the right to round up people because of their ethnicity, or the content of their, or you're rounding them up because of the content of their character, too. You're looking at their race. You're looking at their origin. You're looking at their sexual orientation. You're looking at their political views. And you're saying, if it does not line up with your views, kill them. Kill them. As a matter of fact, kill them. We have to do better than that. So when you see the guys like Donald Trump and the Republicans and their supporters, these ignorant supporters that say, well, just round them up. Somebody says to the ignorant one, supporters, well, look, my parents brought me here when I was 2 years old. It's not like I climbed the wall or flew under the ground or whatever you want to call it, climbed the fence to get over. My parents brought me here. Well, you still should be sent back. To what? I am an American. I work, I pay taxes. We shouldn't be this way in this country. We look like, which, and sadly we are, we're hypocrites to the world. We can't tell some country, oh, well, y'all need to, these practices which are killing people and enslaving them. This is just absolutely wrong. And that country usually come back and say, okay, well, I tell you what, we will change our policies on those things like that when you do. We have to help the undocumented immigrant who's been in this country, have been law-abiding, who works, who takes care of their family, they take care of their community. The only mark that, you know, people will say they have on it that they're here illegally. Okay, so our job while they're here is to sit down and say, what can we do to help them get documented? So you reach out to the American Immigration Lawyers Association. You reach out to Homeland Security. You look out, you reach out to the agencies, the citizenship, you know, agencies in this country. And you bring it to those people. You bring it to those people who are here without any documentation, but you reach out to them by saying, we got you. We can help you get documented in this country. We're not doing that. We'd rather sit back and say, and go back and forth. One side says, keep them here. The other side says, round them up. But then you ask each one of them, okay, so, you know, you want to get rid of them because why? Oh, because they're here. They're taking all the good jobs. It's like, well, sir, I'm sorry, so you have a college degree? No. A high school diploma? No. A GED? No. Okay, so you have no education whatsoever. This person that's here, this undocumented immigrant who was brought here with her parents some 30 years ago, has a bachelor's degree in engineering, a master's degree in engineering, works at a company, you know, where is there? She's a chemical engineer, and you're upset because she's here, she doesn't have the proper documentation, so you feel like she's taking the job. Not the job from you. You can barely spell chemical engineer, so we know you're not going to be one. And I've never heard other chemical engineers say, oh, man, I would have better opportunities if they got rid of these people. No, no, no. We have to do better. We have to be better. We are listening to the worst of the angels within us. I don't know if we, as a society, as Americans, that we're doing it because it simply feels good. Evil has the tendency of making you believe that what you're feeling is the right thing. Trust your instincts, because while you may feel good doing and saying these horrific things, your conscience is telling you, this is wrong. We are better than this. As a candidate for state representative in the Juliana Park of Feltonville, you know, I plan to address these. I have addressed this issue. I've invited in the past Homeland Security and American Immigration Lawyers Association to come out and provide information, provide resources to the undocumented immigrants living in the 180th district. And I'm proud to say that reaching out to them, we now are in a partnership together, that upon me receiving those votes to defeat the incumbent in the 180th district and become the new state representative, that's one of my top acts I want to do. I want to address that issue. And what better group of people, the experts, the compassionate experts of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, Homeland Security, coming in and saying, this is what we need to do, Anthony, to help them. I'm proud to be running for the state representative again. I ran in 2012. And it was a lot of things. I was a neophyte, and there's a lot of things I didn't do, but I learned. In 2018, now I've learned a lot. All I want to do is serve the people, and I've been doing that, but now I want to serve them in a better capacity, at a better level. I believe that as state representative, that is a great platform to get policies that I've put together that I believe will be effective for Juniata Park, Feltonville section of Philadelphia. It will be successful. These are hardworking people, and they deserve to be treated better than they have been, that they currently are being treated. I'm Anthony Johnson, and I'm running for state representative, and I hope I can get your support and your vote. If we learned anything about Donald Trump, is that he is not an intelligent individual. I'll say this again. Donald Trump is not an intelligent individual. Even they call him a megalomaniac, but you got to start saying things like an idiotic megalomaniac. Because normally a megalomaniac, when you reference that term, a megalomaniac normally is they all about themselves. They don't care about what others think. But they forget, today they leave one component out. They're highly intelligent. They become that way, the megalomania, embracing that, because of they simply feel intellectually they are superior to everyone else. And the thing is like you said, you may say, well, Anthony, that's what he is. No, but a true megalomaniac actually shows the public how intelligent they are. And they show, and normally a megalomaniac, people will say that of a megalomaniac, yes. He or she is a megalomaniac, but they're actually smart. They're intelligent. Donald Trump is not an intelligent man. Donald Trump is not a moral man. He should not be president. Because look at what he's done in his first year. He has been horrendous, and as a result, he has been horrendous on this country. But enough people went out and voted for him, and enough people stayed home. So here we are with the American imbecile, or as I like to aptly call him, the imbecile in chief. Recently, he called the Democrats treasonous. He said they're at, because when he gave his State of the Union last Tuesday, none of the Democrats clapped. By calling the Democrats treasonous, though, he proved how little he understands the Constitution and how tyrannical his comments have become. To call a group treasonous, elected officials, just everyday Americans treasonous, back in the day, that was a get your gun, 10 paces, and then turn around and fire. That was an ultimate disrespect. Trump is showing his tyrannical underbelly when he uses words like treason to describe politicians and not agreeing with him. See, in our current divided political climate, there are things, everyone can agree on that, despite his own insistence that he knows words and he has the best words. Remember that quote? He said he knows words. And he has the best words. Donald Trump says a lot of idiotic things. Trump recently added to his, like I said, his best catalog of stupidity, claiming that Democrats were treasonous for not clapping during his State of the Union. See, ladies and gentlemen, what makes this statement so utterly ridiculous is that the Constitution's text clearly answers them back about the word. I don't think it means what you think. See, here's an important response to Trump, and that's from the founding fathers of America's government, who thought very carefully about treason, so much so that it is the only crime defined in the Constitution. Here's what the founding fathers of this government said, quote, "Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses and to the same overt act or on confession in an open court. So when you call, when this village idiot calls the Democrats or anybody treasonous because they don't support him, it shows how ill-prepared, how woefully intellectually impotent this man is. Benedict Arnold was a treason. He performed treason when he gave comfort to the British. He said, "I'm gonna help y'all. I know I'm on the side of the colonists, but I'm gonna support y'all guys. I'm gonna help y'all out. I'm gonna give y'all information." That's treason. Me not clapping for you because I don't like the speech or I don't like what you stand for is not treasonous. And to hurl that rhetoric around is dangerous. Anyone with a passing understanding of the English language will quickly understand that failing to clap for the president during a speech does not fit this definition. The Democrats did not engage in any overt act that levied war against the United States or adhered or gave aid and comfort to America's enemies. None of that happened. Yet he called their act treasonous. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the imbecile in chief proves that he has never read or cared about the Constitution. Most people don't. And I have more respect for someone, for the many people I've encountered, and say, "Listen, man, I never read the Constitution. Sue me." Than to have someone faking like they, "We stand by the Constitution. Constitution says A, B, C, D, H, A." And you say, "Okay, well, tell me a little about the Constitution." They're looking at you like, "What? Yeah, tell me about it." What makes matters worse with this foolishness that happened last Tuesday is this. Predictably and idiotically, the White House attempted to walk back the president's remarks, saying that, quote, they were merely tongue-in-cheek and that no one should take them seriously. Even with normal remarks from the president, whose words have great impact on the world than almost anyone else's does, the response falls dangerously flat. See, by invoking treason, it's well beyond the normal for a president. Treason is the most serious crime against our country, which is why it is defined in the Constitution. By labeling Democrats in this way, even just for a joke, he is trying to discredit his opposition and force everyone to be loyal to our dear leader. See, we know that's not true. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? If you keep telling a lie over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and over again, from sunup to sundown, you keep telling that lie, eventually that lie becomes the truth, particularly in the eyes of those who are ignorant. They're going to take what you say as the gospel. That's Donald Trump. He is the Pied Piper of buffoonery. But every time he opens his mouth, it's like the Pied Piper playing his flute. And all the rats start following him and dancing because the music sounds good, feels good. This is what's wrong with our democracy, the crumbling democracy, because we don't hold presidents accountable. We don't hold elected officials accountable. As long as we don't hold them accountable, guess what they do? They do this foolishness. Invoking treason as well beyond normal normalcy for President Trump or any president. Treason is the most serious crime against our country, which is why it is defined in the Constitution. By labeling Democrats in that way, even if it's a joke, as I said, it's sad. It tells the people, "Oh yeah, they believe they engage in treason. I don't like them." And if you say it enough, people will start to believe, maybe he is. He might be. That is not something a constitutional democracy founded on the very notion of criticizing government leaders should countenance. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, he should be absolutely positively okay when he is criticized. Every president other than Nixon took the criticism of their presidency in stride. They said, man, this is what it is. We can't please everybody. I'll please those million people over there. There's 1.5 million that's ticked off at me. I please 2 million people. At 2.5 to 3 million is not happy. But that's okay. It's okay to be criticized. You don't start labeling people horrific names, you know, like treason, when they've done nothing to warrant that to warrant that title. But once again, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And it goes back to what I said before, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't have somebody in your corner that says to you, you can't say that, you can't do that, then it's a problem. On the Anthony Johnson show, you know, there are so many things that when I've come on this show that I wanted to say. I wanted to say it, but I have, you know, my brother says to me, you know, my brother Derek D'Angelo Hill, he says, Anthony, I see what you're writing. You can't say that. It's not so much as you can't say that because you're running for office. It's like you're saying something that is wrong. If you feel that way, come at it another way. Bring it to the people if it's that important to you, but don't bring it to them like that. Amazing. And you learn. Donald Trump has nobody in his cabinet, not even General Kelly. Oh, when John Kelly was first coming, they said, oh, well, General John Kelly, he'll get him on point. He'll take care of Trump. Rumor has it, as of tonight, ladies and gentlemen, rumor has it that John Kelly is about to resign. He's about to resign. Trump doesn't have anybody in his cabinet to say, you can't do that, Mr. President. You need that type of person or persons in your camp to say, you can't do that because it's wrong, first and foremost, and it's going to blow back on you politically. First, it's wrong because it is not compassionate. It doesn't speak leadership. The other side is, you know, this is how you be treated. So we have to do better. We have to hold Trump accountable. The media has to hold Trump accountable. I have to hold Trump accountable. You have to hold this guy accountable. Because everything that comes out of his mouth is poisonous. And we have to have the antidote. Everything that comes out of this man's mouth is poison. And it's slowly, yet assuredly, it is infecting the mind. It's going into the veins of Americans, and they are buying into this. They're buying into this foolishness. We're better than this, ladies and gentlemen. We have to be better than this. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Anthony Johnson Show tonight. It's wonderful. It's great to be back. I hope I can get your support. And, you know, my run for state representative, I'm looking for volunteers to help me. So think about it. And my goal is I'll see you, you'll hear from me again next week. I'm excited and glad to be back. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.